This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. The ninth day of March. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning. And hopefully all you folks in Fairburn sprung ahead. Turned them clocks ahead.
Hope you got those clocks right.
Yep, get them clocks right. You don't want to show up at church, you know, hour early. It's 8:03 exactly right now, making it official. We're going to talk about these Hawks. Listen, and we got three cheers and three jeers, too.
Okay.
Haven't got to. Mm-hmm. And that has a little bit to do with mine. But we have a special guest on here right now, Mr. Crenshaw. Would you do the honors?
Absolutely, absolutely. Of course, we head for tournament time for college basketball. Already some tournaments have taken place and more coming on the way. And then, of course, we got March Madness and the Final Four. A new staple that came on several years ago was the HBCU All-Star Game, All-Star Classic. And Coach Travis Williams joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline to tell us about it. Coach, good morning. Welcome into Sunday morning with Sam and Greg here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me this morning.
Absolutely.
Great to have you on. My goodness, this is what, year four?
Yes, year four for the men and first ever for the women.
So you add in the women this year.
Time.
Talk about this year's event and what people can expect.
In less than 30 days, we're truly blessed with this God-driven vision. 30 days in the great city of San Antonio, we're hosting the fourth ever men's HBCU All-Star Game, a celebration of the best in black college basketball. And now we're witnessing this time the equality and exposure and access for our women. We're hosting the first ever women's HBCU All-Star Game ever during the 40-plus year history of the NCAA March Madness Tournament Championship in San Antonio. So what a historic moment to celebrate the best in black college basketball for our men and our women HBCU All-Stars. That, as you all know, it's long overdue providing this nationally global platform of recognizing the great talent that we have on and off the basketball court, but more importantly, to be able to celebrate black excellence at the highest level during college basketball biggest weekend.
Coach, is this a tournament that moves around? Where are you going to have it next year? Is it always going to be in San Antonio? I mean, I know it's 4 years in, but what's your vision for this moving forward as far as where you're going to take it around the country?
Yeah, so think about it. At this current moment, we've been able to watch. We have a national scouting staff that has been watching these young men and young women. We have over 100-plus we've been watching throughout the 24-25 basketball season. As you and I know, you've been in this space for a long time. The historic significance and why such a big event, wherever the Final Four go, we go. That's important because all eyes are on Final Four weekend, and that's the biggest and global national platform that you can be in. So it's important for us to go wherever the Final Four go because we're the last thing standing. Think about it. We have all these great tournaments that are going on. prior, you know, tournament championships and everything goes into March Madness. But when it's all said and done, all roads lead to San Antonio during Final Four weekend. That's the historic significance of it in those hosting cities along with the Final Four.
Fantastic, folks. Spending time on WaitForIt.com hotline this morning. Travis Williams with HBCU All-Star Game. It is social. You can find it at HBCU All-Star Game, all together at HBCU All-Star Game. What do you do? I mean, you talk about people who are monitoring players and who are scouting them. How much moving around do you do? How many games and different sites and campuses do you get to visit during this time?
I think I appreciate you asking that question. We call it the HBCU All-Stars Tour. So after 17 successful years of coaching, God placed this vision in my spirit to change the direction of our HBCUs. We call it ear and oar. Exposure, access, recognition, opportunity, resource, and results for our proud and prestigious and tradition-rich HBCUs, hardworking, talented, ambitious, and very deserving students and student-athletes, and some of our most brilliant coaches across the country and global around the world that don't get the shine. So it's upon me to change the trajectory and narrative to go to these campuses and show that we have some of the most talented and ambitious, some of the very talented students and student athletes and coaches that don't get the notoriety or the shine. So it's upon me and my company to go out and watch these games and scout these games and watch these players. And it's important for me in this space to keep showing the world that HBCUs matter. So I'm attending these games. I'm out here marketing and promoting the great game of basketball in this HBCU space. And so that's what I do. And so planning events of this magnitude, I live in San Antonio at least 2 to 3 times a month. And so for me, it's the planning that goes in hosting an event of this magnitude and making sure the city of San Antonio understands that. But more importantly, making sure that our alums, our universities, given the exposure and the access and provide some of the same opportunities. Let me read this stat to you guys. There are currently 450 NBA players, 30 NBA teams, 144 WNBA players, 12 WNBA teams. Do you realize there's zero representation of HBCUs on any NBA roster this year? Take it one step further. There have been 528-plus players that have been on active NBA rosters, none of those players have been HBCUs. So my ultimate God-driven vision is to keep putting us front and center and showing that we're just as talented, but we're not provided the same opportunities and access and resources. And that's why I'm fighting after 17 successful years. As many of you know, I've been on both sides of the aisle. I played college basketball at Georgia State. I got into business with Lefty Driesell, and I finished my coaching career with Ron Hunter there at Georgia State. And in October 2019, God placed divisions. Don't worry about coaching. This is what you're getting ready to do. You're getting ready to change the objective about HBCUs and show the world HBCUs matter.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like right around the corner there should be some sort of TV partner that you'll be with, somewhere where folks can view the game in real time. Is that around the corner?
Oh, that's around the corner, and certainly I want to give a big shout-out to, you all know that the game was live broadcasted for the past 3 years on CBS Television Network. Unbelievable partnership that kind of helped launch what this HBCU All-Stars and HBCU All-Stars movement was about. So in the past 3 years, we've been able to touch over 1.6 million of viewers have been able to tune in on that prime time Sunday, one day before the men's national championship game. And then on top of that, we've hosted 2 consecutive sellouts. So as you all know, it's launched in April 2022 in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. You couldn't get a better audience. You had Duke, North Carolina, Villanova, Kansas, the Blue Bloods. And we had our first ever HBCU All-Star game during the 40-year history of the NCAA March Madness tournament. April 2023 in Houston. First time ever HBCU All-Star game on an HBCU campus at Texas Southern University. We sold out. April 2024 in Phoenix, where you and I know there are no HBCUs in that part of the region, the Valley of the Sun. Second consecutive sellout at Grand Canyon University. And many of you know the last state to recognize Dr. King's legacy and holiday. And then to take the entire HBCU All-Star movement to Phoenix and have a sellout at Grand Canyon University. This is truly a God-driven vision of what we're doing. And now we're proud to announce that this game will be broadcast on the CW Network on Sunday, April 6th, 12 p.m. Central Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so to be able to do this on a national and global platform in a great partnership, CW Network, we're truly excited to where this is going from now into the future.
Yeah, yeah, spending time with Travis Williams. Obviously, you don't have to go far to watch for talent this week because Atlanta's just had the SIAC tournament and the SWAC tournament's coming into town. If people want to get out and see them, tell people what they can expect to see. Of course, the SWAC is coming to town. They're going to be down at Gateway this week.
Listen, this whole week, the SIAC tournament championship was held at Morehouse College Forbes Arena. I'm telling you, we got a chance to see some of the best black college basketball played. We got a chance to see the underdog, Savannah State, win the SIAC championship with a interim coach after Coach Broadneck stepped down early in the season. Mm-hmm. Savannah State ended up winning the SIAC championship yesterday afternoon and defeating Tuskegee. But all the games were high level. You had Clark Atlanta, who won the East Region of the SIAC regular season championship. You had Miles College, who won the West. And then you had a lot of these teams playing. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing about the tournament. You know, you got to be ready to go into the new basketball season. And that is the beautiful thing about the tournament championship. Savannah State, one of the lowest seeds, ended up knocking off everybody and winning a championship yesterday with an interim coach. And so, and then, of course, you talk about, and not only that, and then Miles Women, who's won consecutive SIAC Conference Tournament Championship. So I want to make sure we give our women a shout-out in this space because they're playing at a high level as well. And then, of course, you got the SWAC Tournament Championship. That'll be here live at the Gateway Center. So we have some of the best SWAC teams that are playing. Southern University is on a roll, and as I'm not mistaken, they just won the regular season conference tournament championship on the women's side, as on the men's side as well as the women's side. So the SWAC tournament – the leadership here, it's going to be some big-time basketball. And as you know, Atlanta is the sports capital of the world.
It's true. It's true. It's very true that it's happening. It just so happens that two HBCU tournaments are taking place here. And, of course, you're going to be checking out some of the action there as you get set to head for San Antonio for the big event this year. All-star games, men's and women's all-star games. You're going to have HBCU bands, cheerleaders, dance teams, step teams. If people come out to this event, they're going to see so much when they come out there, right?
Oh, it's amazing. For the individuals that really want to understand the magnitude of it, you mentioned earlier, go to HBCUAllStarGame.com. It tells the story. Follow us on all social media platforms, HBCU All-Star Game, HBCU All-Stars. You can truly see the impact. This is a true HBCU All-Star Game experience. We're going to have Grambling State University Band, the cheer, the dance team. We're going to have our Divine Nine Greek Unity Stroll. This is a celebration. We're even going to have business vendors set up during our fan fest leading into the game. We will have a college admissions fair going on during the game. And so when we go to these hosting cities, especially San Antonio, it's bigger than basketball. We leave a legacy court. We have left a legacy court back in every one of these hosting cities, which is important as our give back. We do a college admissions fair. As you and I know, there are over 100-plus HBCUs across the country. We've averaged 40 to 50 HBCUs that come to our hosting cities and participate and expose the local young high schools to the great work our HBCUs are doing. So I've challenged the great city of San Antonio. This will be the year that we have been able to touch over 10,000 students and expose them to our HBCUs. Important work we're doing. We have over 150 interns that will be a part of this epic double-hitter HBCU All-Star game because we have the men's game and then we have our women immediately following in this epic double-hitter. So this is going to be all eyes on San Antonio one day before the men's national championship. Freeman Coliseum in Bexar County, the east side community of San Antonio, will be the hottest ticket in town. So I'm encouraging anyone that is listening to this, get your tickets now. You do not want to be on the outside looking in of this third consecutive sellout, Freeman Coliseum, a celebration of the best in black college basketball, representing all of our four premier black college conferences, the MEAC, the SWAC, the CIAA, SIEC, and our independent schools, Tennessee State, Hampton, North Carolina A&T, because they play a non-HBCU conference. It is a celebration at the highest level.
Fantastic. Coach, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Always great to catch up with you and look forward to a great show coming out there, but a great show this week when the SWAC hits town. Thanks so much for the time this morning.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys. Keep up the great work. You've always been first class in everything you do, and I really appreciate the support.
All right.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
That's Coach Travis Williams.
Yeah, man.
All right.
All right. Listen, again, that was the only thing. I wish it was printed on the website where the TV viewing can be. So mm-hmm. That was the only thing I was going, well, where can I watch this? I ain't in San Antonio.
Yeah.
I mean, he cleared it up, but I'm just saying this should be, let's get their IT guy on the phone. You know what I mean? Stick that information on there so we all know what's what. Hawks got it done twice.
Yes.
Twice against Indiana.
Yep.
We're going to talk about that and what's right around the corner for these guys up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. There are people going right now, oh, man, I used to love that show. Lost Robert Blake on this day. So I threw a little Beretta on there on this Sunday morning, the 9th day of March. But there are people celebrating a birthday today. If I said the name to you, Yuri Gagarin, would you know who that was?
Oh, no.
Yuri Gagarin. We've been talking about a lot of Russians over the last couple of days. Talked about Alex Ovechkin yesterday and where he is, and that this record, this incredible record in
sports,
being talked about.
He's reeling it in.
This dude is 9 goals away from what was considered an unbreakable record.
Mm-hmm.
Washington Capitals star, NHL star, Alex Ovechkin has now got 885 goals.
Yep.
Nobody thought that you'd approach 894.
He's reeling it in.
Which is Gretzky's.
Yep.
But he is right around the corner. So that was one Russian we were talking about quite positively. Want to get that out. Yesterday, Yuri Gagarin was the first man in space. You forgot about that. You never seen The Right Stuff?
Ah.
That was a great movie, man, about the space race there and the Apollo astronauts, the Gemini astronauts. But during that, you learned that Russia sent up Sputnik, which was the first spacecraft. Went up there and came back down. He was the first man in space. The first one they sent up there had a dog in it. Had a dog and a frog and something else. No, I'm serious, man. Go look it up. The first craft that they sent up, again, that's the reason for the space race, right?
Right.
And so they sent a couple animals up first, and then they sent a man, and it was Yuri Gagarin. And it would have been his birthday today, but he's the first dude in space. Mickey Spillane, who's the guy who wrote the Mike Hammer novels?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Remember, he used to be in them light beer commercials with the doll.
Used to show up. Yep.
They came through the radio.
He had a little hat on there.
He had the fedora on.
Yeah.
And he looked like he tried to dress like the character of Mike Hammer. But yeah, it would have been Mickey's birthday today. Speaking of Mickey's, Mickey Gilley, Urban Cowboy, would have been his birthday today.
Mm-hmm.
We've been trying to get up tempo music from Noelle, and she's done a fabulous job. But if we want something smooth and slow, today was his birthday, Jeffrey Osborne.
Okay. He got some up-tempo stuff, though.
Yeah, but you know, you want Jeffrey on when you get set in the mood.
Yeah,
all that stuff.
Yeah.
And happy 54th birthday.
54th.
Happy 54th birthday. Hold on to something. Emmanuel Lewis.
Wow.
Hold on to something. Hey, Noel's eyebrows go up. Webster.
Yeah,
is
man.
55 years old. 54 years old.
Yeah. He's here in town, man. He shows up at different things.
I know.
Town,
yeah, he's been here forever.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. But, yeah, this March 9th also lost along with Robert Blake. Otis Taylor, you
mm-hmm.
and I.
Mm-hmm.
Pops, rest in peace, the wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs from back in the day, and lost Biggie on this day. Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah.
Lost him on this day. So, anyway, stuff that we talked about. Now, how about these Hawks?
They're up to the seventh spot.
But more importantly, I don't know how this is going to make them play in once they get to the playoffs, but they're atop the division now. They're looking up at Orlando and Miami for the longest time. Now they can sit there at the top after taking on Indiana these last two games and feel good about where they are now.
Well, the top of the division is nice, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They like to be inside that top six as far as the conference goes.
You want to start someplace, right? Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves. And
let's not get ahead of ourselves.
This is a good time to get well. And visiting Philadelphia with what they're going through, so let's just start.
You know, we talked about this. You know, with Terrell Thomas, we talked about this about a week ago about the games they had coming up. He and Caleb about the games they had coming up and how positive it could be for the team. First of all, some home games and some teams against some opponents that if they go out and execute and play the way they should get wins. And so it's kind of happening for them right now.
Well, again, Philadelphia after this, and then I think it's Charlotte. Let me see here real quick. Yeah, I got Charlotte at home. And you got the Clips.
Yep.
Clips, Brooklyn, Charlotte again. So, yeah,
You got some teams out there that potentially, but they got to keep folks healthy. I mean, Trae Young had a mishap. He had to leave the game for a little while last night.
Right.
So we hope he's going to be okay and able to go. You know, they're winning games. I wish we weren't depending on him to score so much. Right now, Noel, I don't know if you got time to jump on there with us, too. We talk about this Hawks team. You know, but if he has to do it, I guess he does. But mm-hmm. I would prefer him not have to score, go out and score 30 points a night for this team to get wins. But, you know, it seems like he's willing to do that, and he's got the green light to do that, you know, if that's what it takes.
I mean, yes, Emma, I agree with you. When the knee hit the hip, I was worried. I said, oh, if we went from 26 in the first half to he might not come out back out the locker room. But came back out, we got it done. But, yeah, it ideally, and I think that's what we're working towards when you watch them, is we're working towards finding people to put with Trae to where Trae doesn't have to shoulder so much of the offensive burden. But when it is what it is, he puts his head down and he makes it happen. And when he doesn't make it happen, he takes – all the blame and all the criticism. So he's where you want him to be right now. You just wait on the team to grow. Zachary Richechet looked really good last night himself, as well as Dyson, as well as Caris LeVert just getting here and showing out with the headband. So, I mean, you kind of seeing what you want to see. You just, you know, you wish you weren't in the same cycle of, I see the potential. But the potential is there. So if we just, you know, have fun with this Hawks roller coaster that we are on.
Yeah, no kidding. Roller coaster is a great word to use.
Yeah, it's like the ninja down there at Six Flags, you know. You have a good time. You might, you know, get a little whiplash. You might bang your head on the back of the headrest. But, you know, you'll survive and you have a good time when you get down to the bottom. So that's where we're at.
As I was getting ready to ask her a question, a relevant question about the Hawks, she started talking roller coasters with me at Six Flags, and it got me reminded of an old radio promotion we did where we put, I don't know, about 20 people on a roller coaster, and they just got to ride it.
Just ride it all day,
and the
right?
And that last person on there got a Jeep Wrangler.
Really?
Yeah.
I was never getting that Wrangler.
Pardon?
I was never getting that Wrangler.
I'm
not even getting in the cart.
And I think it was the Scream Machine. That was the roller coaster they had to sit on.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm definitely not getting on that.
They sat on the Scream Machine for so much time.
That's old school.
Bathroom breaks. Exactly.
The last time I walked by the Scream Machine, a piece of wood flew off. I was like, y'all get on that thing? Y'all really be riding that thing?
They rode that thing back in the day now.
What I was going to say to you about, wow. You talk about this Hawks team.
Okay, open with the park. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's rare that I move off one of my rabbit hole stories and back into what we're talking about. But the thing that's a little bit maddening about everything that you just said was we began to see a facilitator out of Trae Young that we hadn't seen before the injury started and things started going sideways. Look, I'm getting a finger waved at me. See, I'm making a relevant point.
No, this is what I saw. No, you're dead on.
That's what
But
I mean.
What I want you to see is how much the people around him matters to the facilitating. What am I facilitating if we're not hitting shots, if we're not moving, if nothing is happening? What am I facilitating?
Mm-hmm.
Now I need you to get out of my way so I can try to win a game. And so what you're seeing is the ebb and flow of being able to facilitate by having somebody to facilitate to and having to be the orbit that makes it all move and go. And you saw, I think you saw both of that last night. I think you saw in the first half where it was Trae Young's world, and in the second half, it kind of became more of Karis' world, and you saw more of Zachary, Richache, and more Dyson, and more Onyeka getting really big blocks in timely matter, and more
Moke shooting
threes.
That dude was a presence in the paint last
night.
Yeah,
man. Well, you know, Onyeka just being what I always knew he could be. But the point is, like, it just depends. What you're seeing is Trae being able to go with the ebb and flow of the game right now. When they need him to go get 30, he'll go do that. When you need him to go get 30 and 15 assists, we'll go do that. When my shooting is a little bit off and I need to put up 20 assists and let the rest of y'all have a night and y'all can make the shots, then we're going to do that too. So what you're really seeing is him being able to kind of go with the ebb and flow of the game and change his game a bit. And that's a testament to his growth, to be able to change in midstream.
Yeah, I just think there's been conversations during the practices of what we just addressed, the facilitator. I'm going to get you guys this ball. I'm going to stop shooting as much, blah, blah, blah. I'm going back, you know, a few months when I'm assuming this conversation took place, and then we started to see it play out. But then you got to kind of take your mind back to that, what was it, 7-8-game losing streak they went through?
Yeah.
And what was going on there, and how did that change to somewhat right the ship? I'm not smart enough or basketball savvy enough to see the actual change that took place. But for whatever reason, I mean, this is not a West Coast. I mean, those losses didn't all come on a West Coast, you know, road trip.
No.
Where
no,
you go, this is, and again, some of the teams, you feel like, you know, you can't say nothing about Detroit anymore either.
Detroit's slapping everybody around.
Detroit's beating people.
And there's very few teams where you should say outwardly and feel confident in, well, the Hawks are going to get a win here. I mean, you just can't do that anymore. You just can't. Are you confident?
I never thought you could. Like a team like the Hornets, for as mid as everybody called them, they've had our number for years. Mm-hmm. So I never thought we was in a situation where you could just book a win with the Hawks. Like, that's what we've actually been trying to get to, in my opinion. But I think the difference of what you're talking about is chemistry. You've been bringing guys in, bringing guys out, injuries. And so now you're seeing the guys that are on the floor right now without having a Vic Krejci and without seeing Garrison Matthews so much. You're seeing the new guys are bringing in, along with Mo Gay and Onyeka in this new starting role, really get their fitting together and in their roles. I think that's the difference in what you're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been a great week when you think about the four games this week. Starts with a win at Memphis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was pretty big.
Yep. You know, it was a hard fall game.
Yep. That's the other thing too, man. They're not backing down from just silliness that's going on. These guys are getting physical. That's the other thing. I think there's a perception.
They got a little more physical.
Yeah,
last
they did.
Night,
Indiana
they
was like,
in there.
"There's like, we're sick of hanging around here eating these wings at you know where. So we want to get out of Atlanta, and we're going to let you know about it." And it was a little bit more physical. But the times that I have watched this team, when their opponent has gotten physical with them, there's no backing down. I don't know if there's a perception of the Hawks are soft or they're an extension, because you know sometimes you do that with the star player. So if the star player is Trae Young, you know, some of these other teams, I feel like, well, they just soft.
Well, the team hadn't had like that enforcer. But they haven't had that enforcer on this team in a while. A guy who was just going to go out there and you knew it was going to get physical with you. They haven't really had that. So it's been a different style game that we've seen here. I always felt like you need to have one of them dudes.
You need a Marcus Smart on your team.
You need somebody in there who's going to go out there and mix it up, right?
I wish he'd have came here. I like me Smart. I don't know what's up with him now, but I just, you know.
Nah.
No.
Nah. None of them Boston dudes.
Okay.
Mr. Green here.
Oh, that's
nah.
right. There we go.
But, Mr. Green here, absolutely not. But, yeah, you need – we haven't had that since Solomon Hill.
Like Solomon Hill.
Somebody that's going to – you know, a body that's going to be an enforcer and be like, hey, you can't do that. But I'll tell you this, Greg. I think on why you kind of hit on why some people may not like Trae Young, I think people think they're supposed to be able to bully Trae, and that's not how that works. And so now all you can do is be mad.
Because, again, I just keep thinking about that New York game where he hit that shot and the guy came after him and one his teammate mm-hmm. stepped up.
And that
up
was and, Solomon Hill
yeah,
who stepped up.
Yeah, right in front of him there and Trey just
But what did he do before then, though? What did Trey do before then? Shrug it off.
Right.
Yeah.
Shrug it off. Oh, you think you can bully me? You know we got to come back and play another half, right? Okay, let's have some fun.
When you hear this dead-on breakdown from Noel, right, and then I look at what I'm looking at here, and I'm going to throw out this more insignificant information. I go, she is not that woman who, when she was a girl, had a collection of Barbie dolls. Am I right?
Oh, no. I had one, and it had, like, hair-changing shampoo.
What?
And once the shampoo ran out, I got bored and cut the hair off.
What?
And then, yeah, that was it for the Barbie doll. So, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see
Shout
you playing
with
it.
Shout out to my grandmother, but that wasn't really.
No. I bring that up because
I
today.
I thought she was trying to do that, but nah.
Nah.
Barbie debuted today. Barbie debuted on this day at the American Toy Fair.
Shout out to Mattel. They tried to give that lady hell, too. Mm. She knew, but she knew.
And also, I'll save this for the next segment when we throw out the minutia here. Before we turn things over to John Fricke, who was coming up at the top of the hour, it is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. It's the 9th day of March. Thank you for letting us be a part of your weekend mornings. And thank Jason Longshore again for yesterday sitting in for Mr. Crenshaw.
Yep.
Some Jeffrey on. See, this reminds me also that not one but two attempts at paying tribute to Quincy Jones failed this year. The Grammys messed it up, and then the Academy Awards messed it up.
I didn't
like either one. No, they just it was an okay tribute, but you don't do an okay tribute to Quincy. You bring out the people who do him justice for the man that he was. And what he has contributed to both industries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I just felt like, you know, Queen Latifah out there swinging, he's on down the road. Not a bad performance, but not who I would have chosen.
Yeah, I would think they would have got somebody else for that.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then the other songs that they did, and don't get me started on the Grammys. So
okay.
it was just one of those things there. Anyway, Mr. Fricke is up at the top of the hour here. Now, one of the things that we started a few weeks ago, actually haven't done during the show. You got your finger up. What's up?
Yeah, stock cars. Because we didn't get Adam because they out west. They in Phoenix.
Yeah, okay.
And so they run today. William Byron is on the pole for the race out in Phoenix today. Joey Logano outside of row two. Chase Elliott qualified sixth. And Christopher Bell qualified 11th. I'm mentioning Christopher Bell because he's won the last two races. He won the race at COTA last week out in Texas, and then he won here in Atlanta. So Christopher Bell, after winning back-to-back, qualified 11th for today's race at Phoenix. But William Byron is on the pole for today's race.
You called it stock car, and I hadn't heard that for a minute. It threw me off there.
Yesterday
we were talking about was the anniversary of the first stock car race.
Okay.
The first one, and obviously Daytona, but that happened back in the 30s. It's like, phew.
You're racing on the beach.
They're racing all over the beach.
Sand all flying all over the place.
Really,
man. Oh, wow.
speaking of fast cars,
yep.
I never wanted one of these cars. I know people who love them, and that's their car, but I was just never a Ford Mustang person.
Yeah, some people just,
that's their car, right?
That's their dream car.
A 64 Mustang, and anyway, today was the day that it was produced.
Okay. Yeah.
The Ford Mustang. And Tampa Bay got a baseball team on this day back in 95. And today was the day.
After the stadium had been sitting there for about 10 years.
Oh, that Sunshine Place. Sunshine Stadium.
Well, now the roof is gone, right? Roof is gone.
Right. It was blown off there.
They're going to be playing at the Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, the Legend Field.
Yeah.
Been to that place.
Mm-hmm.
Music changed a little bit today. Dre signed Eminem for his then Aftermath Entertainment. But he signed Eminem on this day. So there you go. All right, listen, I want to thank you. You got me thinking on a regular basis, not just about my story of the week when we get ready to prep for our show, but now three cheers or three jeers.
Mm-hmm.
And as opposed to you, when I'm gone, I'm going to uphold the feature that you brought to the show. All right? And that is I have three cheers
okay.
that I want to do for this week.
Go right ahead.
We got to get some sound, though.
Okay.
We got to get some. I mean, not Noel to – play music. I mean, we got to get a sounder like we have.
Oh, something. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we got to get something produced for that,
okay,
don't you think?
Okay, yeah, we get something.
All right.
That's a good fit for it.
We've been talking about one of mine all morning long, and that's the Hawks taking the two wins from Indiana.
Okay.
So that's one of them. And like I said, we've been on all over that. The other piece of news was, after a very long career, very long public career, and not too many people bounce within the sports world like he has and had success the way he has, but Jimmy Johnson saying he was shutting it down. He's retiring from Fox. I might have been a little bit of a nudge because I know they want to change that whole show.
Yeah.
But still, Jimmy Johnson's is a career that a lot of people, including myself, would mind having.
I know it. I know it.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, we have to be consistent with this. His family suffered. And he's been very open about that.
Mm-hmm.
How he kind of, you know, it was all about coaching. And he talked about his relationship with his son. It's gotten much better now, but for a while there, it was battered.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was one. But Jimmy Johnson, big fan of his and his hair. Love that. And then the other one was this record that's being approached. Alex Ovechkin. Guy, first of all, got a hat trick last week at 39 years old, which is the oldest person to do that. I talked about this earlier, too, that he is the only player. Forget about the great one. Forget about Gordie Howe, all Bobby Hull, Brett Hull, all of them. Stan Mikita.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. You really.
Keith Magnuson.
You covered them all now.
Tony Esposito. Of course, he wouldn't score goals. Or Phil. Well, Phil would.
Yeah.
But he has had 200 goals in three different decades. Nobody's done that before, Ovechkin.
Wow.
He got 200 goals
right.
Three different decades. So those are my cheers for this week. The fact that he got one more goal, so he's 9 behind Gretzky, Jimmy Johnson, and, of course, the Hawks.
Okay.
How about you?
All right, three cheers. One of them you know we talked about this week would be the Georgia High School State Basketball Tournament. And just hats off once again to everyone who pulled it together, from the people who hosted it down in Macon, from the volunteers, people who worked to make sure everybody got in and out of the place because the place was packed yesterday. Fire marshal closed the door, wouldn't let anybody else in while Southwest Macon was playing. People were parking on the grass to go in there. And also the officials. The people who have to come out because you can't play the games without the referees. So salute to that. That's one of my cheer. My second cheer is the Joker. Not the one, the tennis Joker, but the basketball Joker. 30-20 yep, and 20
yep, yep.
In that 149-141 win over Phoenix. Nikola Jokic, that gets a cheer. But my other cheer is a one that some people may have a little mixed emotions about. Mike Hancock is football coach at Appalachian High School. And, of course, we know what happened, the tragedy that happened, the shooting
right.
happened there, and claimed the life of one of his assistant coaches, Richard Aspinwall. This week, Coach Hancock resigned from coaching to step away to tend to his mental health.
Uh-huh.
And just told other men, you know, around, you know, everywhere to take care of yourselves. Said he's been, you know, trying to be strong and really was faking it. One thing he always felt he would be a real person and be authentic, especially with the young people he was working with and that he was coaching. So a salute to Coach Mike Hancock for his decision this week to step away and see about himself
right.
and be something we all grow some. So those are my three cheers for this week.
Noelle, here she comes.
Watch out.
Ooh. All right, let's see. What do we got this week? Hodgepodge of stuff.
Uh-oh.
We will start sports and then completely divulge. Diverge. Let's see. One is the Hawks roller coaster ride. I have enjoyed the ride this week. Some weeks are better than others. But this week, especially with 92.9, the game night, was a very fun week.
Cool.
All right, let's see. We have Karen Culkin wins an Oscar, and I just think it's great that you have two Culkins just in two different decades just ruling it all. We've gone from Home Alone to Succession and have not been without a Culkin, so him getting an Oscar was pretty cool. And also, country music is so popular right now that Neil Young released an unreleased country rock album from 1977.
1970.
So, what?
19, he's held on to this album, which makes sense because that's the last time that country rock was really, really popular. So he has held on to this album since 1977. And now it has been unleashed into the world, and people are saying it's such a nice slice of a bitter, it's just such a bittersweet slice of life that is long, long past. So if you like Neil Young and you like country rock, that is out there.
Man.
Okay.
Okay.
I ain't a fan of Culkin. I can't stand that dude. I just, listen, there's people who love him, and I don't, this is just me. I'm not telling you not to like him. I just find his manic personality off-putting.
It's funny that you bring that up about him, because apparently it was Adrian Brody that was off-put.
Everybody. He's another one too.
Yeah, apparently that's who put everybody off.
Oh, he said he wouldn't shut up. It wasn't the speed. I mean, but you know, he's an acquired taste too. But that's fine. Look, there is no one universal person.
No.
Who's in show business? Everybody. No, you got ones you like. You got ones you like. We're still, you and I go back and forth on what was the one a few weeks ago you told me you didn't like her. Alicia Keys.
Yeah, never been a fan.
Yeah, so that's fine. But I wasn't feeling his win and all of that. I that show Succession, no, they just
really.
But I wasn't a fan of it. It was a bit. No, I understand. It's a huge show, but I just not for me. Billions. I'm all over that. All over Billions, but just wasn't his. Whose win did you really, really like, or who are you upset about that didn't get the trophy last week, since you're bringing this show up?
I wasn't upset about it, but I definitely raised an eyebrow when I saw that Zoe Saldana got Best Actress for Emilia Perez, and that's a smorgasbord of reasons of why.
Wasn't that a supporting actress?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But still, I was like, "Huh? That's what we're doing." But congratulations to her.
I mean,
it's a list of reasons. Not all her, but some of it her. It's a list of reasons.
Okay. Okay.
Well, the movie in and of itself,
right?
Was,
exactly.
Like, yeah, and that and one of the actors in it that
was a hodgepodge of stuff.
They changed around the whole presentation of the show because of that controversy. They really did, and they to avoid having that weird. Having that weird moment.
Yeah.
So you guys go back and look at that. Two things. Two guys made me laugh in a way that I have not laughed at them in a while. And one of them, if at all, one was Conan O'Brien. I think he did a great job with the show.
Yeah, he did.
I think Conan O'Brien,
I thought he was good.
You know,
I like
Conan. He did a great job. And the week before on the Saturday Night Live anniversary show and on the Oscars, Adam Sandler made me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was the best part to me of the Saturday Night Live
the song
show. Yeah, that song he did, and then him, sitting in the audience like Ed Sullivan used to do with famous people, and having that back and forth with Conan. So yeah, Adam Sandler. Those are my two takeaways. Anyway, you got a big day planned, man?
Me, I'm leaving here and I'm headed for Athens. Headed for Athens, the Georgia Athletic Directors Conference is going on there. I got to emcee the awards dinner this evening.
That means
so
the tux is being
involved. No tux. but I'm going to head up to Athens and be around for that and get a chance to meet with the decision makers, people who make the decisions for athletics in the different school districts around the state. The fine work that they do. So I'm going to go up and spend some time with them this evening.
Well, let me say, and I don't talk about this that much. I think the last time I went over the board was with The Rock and that whole movie I forgot the name of it. I forgot my Christmas movie. Not Dear Santa, the other one.
Oh, man.
We did 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, Beauty in Black is out.
Yeah.
It premiered this past week. I was told, and I got a picture sent to me by Larisha's husband,
okay,
who was with us at 92.9 The Game night,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about that. And he goes, "Didn't your show drop? I completely forgot about it. That it aired this because I don't like. Hey, I'm not watching myself, so I thought it was like a week or two out. But it is now on Netflix, and I believe that now that the editing has been done, I'm not in as many episodes as I thought I was going to be in, which
really?
Is fine.
Which is fine.
As fine."
Yeah.
But there was,
You did your part.
I did my part, and happy to be brought back. I was under the assumption and given the scripts that we did that I'd be in a few more. But now that I look at the breakdown and where I was, let's put it this way. 2 days ago, I was in the top cast. When you went online and you saw the cast for the show,
yeah.
I was included in that.
Nice.
Now that it's aired and some more editing has been done, I've dropped a notch. So I ain't there, and somebody else has been moved up. So, and that's fine. God bless them, right? I ain't going to say nothing about that dude. So I'm happy to be a part of it. But if you have not checked it out, check out Beauty in Black. It is on Netflix right now. And thank you for your support, as Bartles and James used to say. For the rest of you, John Fricke is up next. Noel, have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you for everything that you've done, Mr.
Thank
Crenshaw. You
yep.
drive safely. Okay. I will take care of business on my end here. The rest of you, have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Thank you for letting Sam and I be a part of it. It is Sam and Greg. We'll be back next week. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you on the Odyssey app.